Now, 2 weeks ago, I was really vulnerable with you here on this platform. I told you about having a panic attack in Walmart. I told you about the journey that I've got with anxiety in my own life. And a number of you have asked, well, how are you doing? And I know we live in a small town. One person came up to me this week, doesn't go to our church. They said, I heard you're cracking up. And I was like, that is not new information, okay? I just want you to know something today. And to answer the question, how is Chad doing? How am I feeling? All of those kinds of things. I want you to know I'm doing better. Is that fair, Julie? I'm doing better. I want you to know that I'm doing everything I know to do to get better. Talking to my doctor, talking to a counselor. I don't particularly enjoy talking to my doctor, and I don't particularly enjoy talking to my counselor. But it helps me. I want you to know that if you're here today and you struggle with these things, that what happens in your head sometimes maybe feels like a bowling alley, I want you to know that you're not alone. And I want you to know that the sign above the door is true. There is a place for you here. There is a place for you here. I also want you to know you don't have to hide it. Being open like this, you feel a little bit vulnerable, more than a little bit, when I talk about these things to you. But I want you to know, if I had a broken arm, I wouldn't like try to hide it. You would all say, oh, Chad's arm is broken. And I need to be open with it, with you, and I encourage you to be open with others. I also encourage you to find moments just to find rest for your brain. And we're going to take just a minute, and then we're going to get into 2 Chronicles. And I want us to listen to a song that, no kidding, I've probably listened to this song 40 times in the last 2 weeks. I start my day every day with this. Quite often I end my day with this song. And so I just want to give us kind of 4 minutes of quiet, and then we're going to jump into 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 20 through 21. Let's watch this together.
Jesus.
So Jesus, now I pray that you would bring deep peace into people's hearts, and that we can know that we can always run to you. In Christ's name, amen. One day there was a king, and this king inherited a mess. The people that this king was leading, they were a mess. The morale of these people was way at the bottom. Wherever the top was, the morale was down here near the floor. The people were at their wits' end. The temple was locked and barred. But this king showed up, and on his very first day, he did things differently. This king showed up, and on his very first day, he served God with his whole heart. On his very first day, this king showed up, and this king was like no other king. His name was Hezekiah. Hezekiah. It's not a name that we hear that often these days. We hear Zeke. We don't hear Hezekiah. But Hezekiah shows up, and here's what the Bible tells us about Hezekiah. Let's read this together in full voice. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was and let's use our outside voices, before the Lord his God, in that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands. He sought his God and he worked, and so he prospered. He sought his God and he worked wholeheartedly. He sought his God and he worked how? Purpose that Hezekiah had in his life was first and foremost to seek his God. The purpose that Hezekiah had above all else in his life was to put God first. That's why he got out of bed in the morning. And everything Hezekiah did, he sought his God. And wherever he was, he sought his God. Says he did it all throughout Judah and everything that he undertook. Now, Hezekiah could have said, I'm the king. It's all about political power and prestige and perks and all of these things. He didn't do that. Instead, in everything he did, let's say it together, he sought, let's say it together, he sought his God. That was his purpose. How did he go about fulfilling his purpose? Here's his method. His method was that he did it wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. His method was complete devotion with all his heart. Hezekiah didn't dabble. He didn't have one foot in and one foot out. He didn't put one foot in and shake it all about. That's the hokey pokey. He didn't do that. Hezekiah's method was, God, I'm going to seek you first, and I'm going to work wholeheartedly. He didn't play around. If you read chapters 29, 30, and 31 of 2 Chronicles, you will read about a king who led in such a way that he was leading people to live out repentance, to forsake filth, to wholeheartedly come back to God, and to put their full weight on God. There was no other pursuit that Hezekiah had. Everything he did was first and foremost to seek his God. And how did he do it? He sought God, say it together, wholeheartedly. And what was the result? What happened? What happens when a king shows up and has power and he stewards that power in a way where he says, no, God, I'm not going to seek to be served. I'm going to seek to serve and I'm going to seek to exalt you above all else. What happens when a king does that? Here's what the Bible says, the result of that. And so he prospered. He prospered. One writer says, from the rubble, God prospers this king and gives him success in the very work that he is attempting. You see, God will always bless work that's done his way. God will always bless work that's done with a heart toward him. God blesses people whose hearts are first and foremost surrendered to God and who serve God wholeheartedly. Now that's really nice, but it makes me ask the question, what does this have to do with us? What does it have to do with a pumpkin pie that's on the platform this morning? I thought I might get hungry in the middle of this message. Here's one question, two questions we're going to ask. Here's one. What's my purpose? What's my purpose? If Hezekiah was sitting at the table and we're over here at the co-op family restaurant, and we turn to Hezekiah and we say, Hezekiah, what's the secret? What's the secret to seeing people turned around? What's the secret to seeing people wake up? What's the secret to seeing a nation changed? What's the secret to people coming alive before God? I think Hezekiah would first and foremost say, it's that I sought God first and best in my life. That may sound really simple. I mean, so, oh yeah, of course, I seek God first. But for Hezekiah, I think he would say my purpose was singular, in a singular way, it was that. God, you first, and God, your best. For Hezekiah, he sought his God. And I think Hezekiah would say, oh, by the way, do it wherever you are. Because it says all throughout Judah. And I think Hezekiah would say, put God first in everything. You want some good advice today? Put God first in everything, because it says everything that he undertook, he did this. But here's what we often do. I thought of this little sentence this week. Here's what we often do. Go to the next slide, Whitney. Put your name in the blank and then sought his God or her God and then fill in the blank. Here's what we often do. Chad sought his God. Go to the next slide, Whitney. For the most part. Part-time, like a part-time God seeker. Or Chad sought his God when it was convenient, when it was easy. You do know there's times that it's easier to seek God than others. It's more popular to seek God at certain times than others. Or Chad sought his God, you ready? You're going to all say, of course he does this, on the weekends. Like between 9 and 11, 9 and noon on Sunday. Maybe that's when you would say, that's when I sought God too. Or Chad sought his God except at certain places. Like, you can't expect me to seek God all the time. You can't expect me to put God first all the time. That's what somebody might say. I think Hezekiah would say if he was sitting at a table today and we were at the co-op and he just got his coffee cup filled, I think Hezekiah would say, listen, make this your aim. Seek God first. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whoever you're doing it with, and whenever you are doing it, seek God first. And oh, by the way, I don't think Hezekiah is the only person who ever said that. My mind races back to a man named Jesus who said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things and all his righteousness and all these other things will be added to you as well. So what's your purpose? What's your purpose? We all have one. What's yours? And here's the second one, and this is where this pie comes into play. How's my heart? I'm not talking about your cholesterol and your blood sugar. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your heart. The Bible says sometimes we have hearts that are divided. Now, I like pumpkin pie. It's not the greatest pie ever made, I want you to know. It's good. It's not the greatest. The greatest pie ever made? Pecan pie. Pecan pie, if you're wondering. Not good for your blood sugar at all. But here's what we do sometimes with our hearts. We say, God, I know what you've said about my heart. The heart's vulnerable. The heart's at risk. And I know what you've said, God, about living for you in every single way. But God, you can't expect me to forgive people that have hurt me. And so, God, you can have this part of the pie, but this is like a really crumbly, cheap pie. Nothing against Walmart, but it's a crumbly, cheap pie that you can't expect me to forgive. And so I'm going to reserve the right not to forgive. That piece is for me. Put it over here. Or you might say, you know, God, I know what you said about trusting you no matter what, that God, you want me to be a full-time follower of yours no matter where I am, no matter who I'm with. But God, like, man, sometimes I'm with people and I have to fit in a little bit, and so I'm going to do whatever I can to fit in. And so God, this piece is mine as well, and the rest of it, God, you can have that part of the pie, but the rest of it is mine. I had a guy say to me one time, he's like, Chad, I'm really mad at my wife. It's like, really? It's like, I don't like her very much. And I was like, really? And he started to talk to me for a while, and I was like, I think I can tell why she doesn't like you. But anyway, I digress. And so he said, I'm not going to love her right now. You know what he just said? He said, that part of the pie is mine. I'm just going to take it and put it over there. Sometimes our hearts are so divided. And we say, God, here's my heart. It's yours. Take my life. It's yours. But remember, I'm holding on to this stuff. And the Bible says, I want your whole heart. In fact, the Bible says that not only does God take the heart that we have, and our hearts are a mess. John Calvin says that the heart is an idol factory, that our hearts are born sinful and depraved and twisted, and our hearts are born that way. Nobody had to teach us to have a divided heart. God says, I will take your heart of stone, and I will give you, can I wipe my fingers? I will give you a heart of flesh. I will give you a brand new heart. So how's your heart today? Sometimes your heart is divided. Let me tell you this. I don't know any other way to say it, so I'll just say it really simply. I want everybody to get this. And this isn't flimsy. If you put this into practice, friends, it will revolutionize and change everything in your life. I'm not kidding. You ready? God wants the whole pie. God wants the whole pie. There's an old hymn that says, nothing between me and my Savior. God wants nothing between us. He wants the whole pie. And meanwhile, we're over here saying, yeah, but I don't like her very much right now. And God says, no, I want the whole pie. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Yeah, but God, this is my money and my stuff and my time. And says, no, God says, put me first in everything. And you say, well, yeah, but they hurt me. I reserve the right not to forgive. And God says, forgive others as I have forgiven you. And God would say, I want the whole pie. It's a wearisome thing to go through life trying to divvy up the pie and say, God, this part is yours and this part is mine. It's an exhausting thing to do that. Sometimes your heart can be divided. Sometimes your heart can wander. You ever notice that? Like the hymn writer even said that. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Your heart can wander, or your heart can get distracted. King Solomon was a king who knew, who was the wisest who ever lived. And his heart got hard towards God. When he ruled and reigned, he started out as a good king, and in the end of his life, you read the end of his life, he's in a temple worshiping false gods. This is the guy who built the temple where God inhabited, the temple where God came in a special, powerful way. And at the end of his life, his heart's so hardened and cold and cut up, he doesn't even look like that king anymore. Now, this may sound very random. I enjoy good country music. Not bad country music. The country music that's on the radio right now, not good country music, okay? I enjoy country music with song titles like, I went back to my fourth wife for the third time, and I gave her a second chance to make a first-class fool out of me. I enjoy country music like that. I enjoy country music by the classics, like by this guy right here. It'll be on the screen. Who knows who that is? Oh, the sanctified people. Raise your hand high. Hank Williams. Somebody's like, Tim McGraw. Like, no, not Tim McGraw. Hank Williams sang a song, Your Cheating Heart Will Make You Weep. You'll cry and you'll cry and you'll even try to sleep, but sleep won't come. I thought about singing it. Sleep won't come the whole night through. I thought about it, and then I thought better. The sleep won't come the whole night through. Your cheating heart, it'll tell on you. How's your heart? How's your heart? God says, I want your whole heart. And how do I get a whole heart? It isn't by trying to piece it back together and make it look whole. It's by saying, God, here's my heart. And I will take a heart of stone, and I will give you a brand new heart, the scripture says. It's saying, God, I repent. I've made a mess of things. I turn from these things to follow after you. God, here's my heart. How's your heart? I think if Hezekiah was here at the table today, Hezekiah would say, listen, seek God first. And I think Hezekiah would also say, live wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Give your whole heart to God. All of it. It's what he wants. All of it. So I'd like you to bow your heads with me, if you would. We're going to sing a number of songs together here at the end that just speak to this very fact. But I want to give you a moment to be quiet before God. I want to give you a moment to rest before him. And I want you to ask yourself the question, how's my heart today? How's my heart? Father, in this moment, we quiet ourselves before you. Father, you died on the cross to give us a brand new heart, to pay the price. You did all the work. Our part, God, is to repent and to believe the good news. Father, today would you give us a brand new heart? Maybe today you've been serving God, but you've been doing it with one foot in and one foot out. God, may it be said of us that on this day, on this weekend, we humble ourselves before you. And we said, God, we don't want to live that way anymore. With your help, God, we'll live differently. So, Father, may we do what is right and good and faithful before you. And everything that we undertake in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands, we seek God and work wholeheartedly. So, Father, today, soften our hearts in these moments as we sing these songs of praise to you. Let's sing together.